Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Tony.
Hello, guys. Hi.
Welcome to the My Middle Name is Trevor podcast. Three Oxford DJs, myself, Tony Nanton, Nathan Swift, and Adrian Specs Prescott, chatting about the world. We also have a My Middle Name is Trevor Spotify playlist, so go look for that, subscribe to it, and hear all the tunes we talk about near the end of the show. Anyway, we're here now. Let's go.
Yeah, I've got to come up with something.
No, I tried to be different, didn't I? But I'll tell you what happened. When I said it, Nanton was kind of like, excuse me. Like,
all right, let's start. Right, three.
Just totally messed up the whole vibe
of the opening. No, I think this is a great intro. I think that's a great start.
That's an amazing one.
Yeah, don't go editing. Don't go editing that out, mate. We're real.
No,
Nathan, you know this
gone.
Is gone, right?
I tell you what's
going. You know it's gone. You know
it's next. Grown man, I see on an electric scooter. One of those little stupid, mate, I'm not having it. Enough. Okay. I see a man last week. I see a geezer driving around the corner around my way, just driving normally. He goes to turn left. This kiddie's jumped off, you know, the other side. He thinks he's a skateboarder. Come off the other side of the road now. He's in the middle of the road. The guy in the car nearly hits him. Scooter kid starts giving the driver grief. I'm like, mate, no. I want to get in my car and I want to box this man boy up.
Why are you always in them?
No.
Let them two sort out themselves.
Yeah, my man's going to get himself run over. This thing needs to stop. It needs to be a law against it. Enough of the scooters. I'm sorry.
Can I just point out there is a law against it? They're not road legal.
So why are they on the roads? Why don't police stop them? I see them last year when I was in Benidorm Old Town. See, all the English dads normally used to be on the old mobility scooters, all the English people, yeah. And
that was ridiculous.
And honestly, it was just a joke. You'd see him with like, it'd be a one-seater, then you'd have the young lad behind granny holding on her neck or something.
No, there's a guy who does this around the area, and his mum or grandma, I don't know what it is, but she's doing her thing on the scooter, and this dude, well, no, he's a grown man. He has a helmet.
Oh, I've seen him.
Skateboard, like a boogie board skateboard, and it's like some rope.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Now there's rope tied to the thing, and he's doing in and out weaving and doing all this ollies and stuff. But yeah, he's holding on.
Look,
to this,
I don't want to diss the police, right? They got a lot of hands at the moment. But seriously, come around our way, get these boys arrested, put a fine. It's like what are those silly two-wheel things out a couple of years ago, and a kid stood on them.
Oh, the Segways.
Yeah, the little hoverboard things.
I had a really interesting running with a mobility scooter once.
Come on.
Driving through the centre of Oxford, pulled up at the traffic lights in front of Carfax Tower, and there's a mobility scooter in front of me, and I've got a bus in the bus stop on the left-hand side, just outside where the pub is, the Checkers.
Yep.
So the bus is parked up there, so I'm alongside it, and there's a mobility scooter in front. And the bus pulls away, and the mobility scooter still sat there. So I'm thinking, what do I do? Cornelia's in the passenger seat, and he's not moving anywhere. Another bus goes down the inside of me. There's vehicles behind me. And I'm thinking, right, I don't know what to do. We've been sat there now about probably 25, 30 seconds. So it's one of those where I've been really delicate and just kind of given a little beep on the horn. Not a full-on, more of a... Anyway, he started waving his left arm, and he's manic, he's mad. He's gesticulating with his left hand, and he's pulled off. At that point, the traffic lights on the corner as you turn into St Aldates have gone red. He's shot straight through the traffic lights as people are crossing the road, and I've obviously pulled up. And I'm looking at Cornelia going, that was just weird. So we pulled into St Aldates, and 20 yards down the road, he's pulled up onto the curb on his scooter and got off it, and he's now stood in the middle of the road waving me over to the side. I just looked at her and said, I don't even entirely know what to do here.
Hang on. So you're telling me this disabled man...
Hang on. Let me carry on. It gets better. So she said to me, Just carry on, ignore him. He's now in the middle of the road. I've driven past him. As I've gone past, he's punched my car twice. So we're driving down the road. I'm saying, so my problem with it is, this guy obviously has got issues. He's the one causing all these problems, but there is no way in this universe, in any scenario, that I am not going to look like the guy having a go at the bloke in the mobility scooter. It doesn't matter which way you look at it. He could have smashed my windscreen. I would still be the guy laying into the guy on a mobility scooter. So I just had to drive away. It was the most random experience of my life. It was smack bang. It was about 6:45 at night in the middle of Oxford. It was just after it opens up and you can drive down the high streets. It was literally about 6:45 at night.
I can see it now. Scales of justice. Nathan Swift, lovely night, Friday night DJ, arrested and charged for an assault
on a guy in a mobility scooter. Yeah, well played, Swifty. Well played.
But no, seriously, I can't take it. Those guys, the guys in the mobility scooters. Some of them, they actually have little signs on the back saying "I paid my road tax" and stuff. And I'm like, really? Are you sure about that?
If it hasn't got a number plate, it doesn't need road tax.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, what's wrong? And some of them have indicators. I'm like, why are you even in the middle of the road?
That's to give you an idea of when they're going to run over your foot.
Honestly, the scooters, mobility. I'm not dissing anybody who's disabled and stuff, but those things drive me mad. And those little two-wheeled kind of, like with grown men on them, I'm not having it. And talking to grown men. So over the last couple of days, I'm over my way, getting something to eat, Marks and Spencer's. The queue for Sports Direct. Can somebody explain to me?
Let me break this down real quick. Swifty, please jump in where you can. So I only found out about this very late, on the day, very late. Only because I posted a video on my Facebook and everyone was like, this line is wild, wild. So then somebody was like, oh, they're queued up like that because for one day only, it's 50% off everything you're NHS. Right. So I'm like, huh? I said, I didn't know about this. What did I do? Get off Facebook, phone my mum. I said, are you awake? Obviously, she answered, so she was. I drove right round there. I said, we're going Sports Direct. Went Cowley. When I'm telling you, the line was near... You know the sign what tells you where what kind of like shops and stuff are in the complex.
The worst part is in this line, the fact you've got an NHS ID is not getting you in at the front.
No, that doesn't. You don't cut the queue. So I was like, I'm not lining up. I said, I'm not that dude. I don't like lining up on a good day. So I then drove all the way to Botley, where the queue was hell of a lot shorter. Mate, I went in there and I just had a field day because it was good. It was amazing. It was like 50% off, like. Full price stuff, obviously.
Can I mind you were desperate for some Lonsdale trainers, weren't you?
Yeah, that exactly. Because exactly what I'm just thinking, Nathan. Because
this is how I know you lot are stupid. Firstly, don't get gassed by these two fools. They already know that Lonsdale, Donnay, all that nonsense, you could pay them. They already know that. So they're just trying to gas
not
up.
Not since they started selling fire traps.
They're just trying to gas up. But I've got some good. I don't even know what fire trap is.
It's like Trap Star, but more flame.
You're telling me you, a man of, you know, some kind of taste.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't knocking Sports Direct yet. People go there generally for quick and easy sportswear. Yeah. Now, you've just been in a 12 to 13 week lockdown. Not many of these people, I could see in the queue, were the kind of people who would... We're taking on any form of decent exercise.
The next thing I see is this massive queue of people just queuing
to buy a load of polyester. Why?
So, I already told you why there was. Now, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to kind of put in an amazing case so you guys can get off my back. You see what you got here? You've got two classic jealous old dudes vexed because they missed the boat.
We missed last week. We had another dodgy recording session. We missed some really good stuff. One of them we're going to go to near the end because Adrian basically dropped a one-liner but killed us.
But now you've said that, that's ruined it, because when he drops it this week and we all act surprised, they'll know we've heard it before.
Yeah, good point.
Duh! You don't.
This is what I'm saying. Like,
you don't have to narrate the whole of our lives. Genuinely, we can do it as a surprise.
What we did do last week was, and I'm going to say it again, is say thank you to everybody who gave us such amazing, magical feedback about the Matters episode we did, which is almost 2 weeks old. Yes, it was great to hear people's kind of opinions and thoughts on the whole Black Lives Matter kind of marches and protests, and also basically the discussion of race. I think for me and Adrian, we kind of went to it in that episode, but I think Nathan really sealed the deal and put the cherry on the cake. It was just kind of nice to release how I thought about the situation. I think Adrian kind of gave us his anger, but then the rough edges are rounded off really nicely by Nathan. So I just want to say thank you to all the feedback is just fantastic. We are going to kind of come back to that in a little while, but not in the way and not, yeah, we will. We will get back there. Also, other stuff has happened since obviously last week was the amazing, fantastic march protesting to protect the statues, which we saw, which was capped by lots of odd violence and stuff, and some poor man getting arrested for having a pee on something he shouldn't have had a pee on, but I doubt he even knew it was there. So I actually didn't give a guy too much grief. It was such a great photograph. He's there thinking, what if he can get arrested for? It was kind of finished off. You saw all that stuff. I mean, these are football fans. And then the football season has started, and you guys must have seen that. The guys kneeling, all the teams kneeling. And to cap it off, we had Marcus Rashford doing that wonderful thing for the free meals. Like, surely that was the best answer. But football, I saw people complaining about people kneeling, footballers kneeling. But if you've just seen your fans, recognised faces, on that Saturday prior, basically kicking off in the middle of London, surely the best way to address that is to kneel for equality, not for Black Lives Matter, but you're kneeling for equality. Would you not agree?
I would, but the only thing I disagree about is the fact that those guys that were in the middle of London, they weren't football fans, they were just thugs. They were just thugs. End of. There was nothing about them. They might go under the guise of a football fan, but they're not a football fan. They've got nothing to do with football. They're just animals. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw that. And, you know, and I really wanted to kind of look at it again and say it was only a small number, but I've seen football fighting guys go, and that's exactly what they do. They line up. They do that thing of goading police or goading other fans or stuff, but this time it was the police. And it was just embarrassing. It was more embarrassing to wake up in the morning, go on Facebook and see people basically go on, boys, go and protect our statues. Those statues get defaced on a regular. You know, we're always getting done. If it wasn't the student marches, it's somebody is always tucking up into church. I'm not saying it's right, but if you're going to protect them one weekend, well, how come you didn't protect them all the other times? So all that says to me was it was a race issue, and it's just really embarrassing. So that's why I was really happy with a bounce back with the football players going down and doing what they did, people saying they were forced to do it. I did not see a footballer who felt like he was forced to do that. And I can't see why you would feel forced to kneel just for a couple of matches to say, look, this is how we feel. Is that such a big deal? Really, Adrian?
Of course it's not. The whole thing's long. Like, my whole thing is this. But these guys have just made a massive, massive deal out of nothing, really, because they've gone there and, if anything, they've caused more ruckus. Do you know what I'm saying? So anything what comes off the back of that, and even football just making a stand, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's more egg on their face, because these are the same ones, like I said before, who are saying this, that and whatever, but now they're probably at home supporting the fact that these men are doing that because they love their team so much. They love the badge so much.
This, yeah, and you know what I said
so
about...
So long.
I woke up on Saturday morning and seeing people basically giving and backing, and what really bugged me... And I got into a bit of a to-do with my best man, actually, on Facebook. I saw certain people saying stuff, and these are soul music fans, people who go to certain soul events. And I'm like, so you're into the whole Black culture and stuff, but then you've kind of maybe leaning towards the right with your comments. And the following day, I put a statement up on Facebook. It was pretty heavy. Basically, having a dig at a certain soul event, saying, you know, having seen some of your attendees saying some pretty harsh stuff, maybe this is the time just to, as a big event, say, look, we stand for our artists that we book and we love and we listen to, and we believe in equality. Instead, I got accused of basically picking on the DJs who go there and accusing them of being racist, which is not what I said at all. I was basically saying...
No, but you can understand how they got there because you've challenged them before. You single-handedly, remember, you single-handedly like challenged like 10 men and called them out and they didn't like it.
But so to me, all it's done to me is make me think... You're still not listening to what the issue is. You're still more concerned. It's that whole thing of people are more concerned about being called a racist rather than looking at the issue. You know, it's just a madness. I remember last year, this weekend coming, Nathan, I'm sure you must remember this. I know you were working that night, but I'm sure you must have seen it afterwards when coming home or heard it afterwards. It was the weekend that Stormzy headlined Glastonbury.
Yeah.
And he was just... outstanding. I mean,
it was different class.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I'm not the world's biggest Stormzy. I always defend him because I like what he's done to the industry. He's made the industry think, and a lot of people won't believe that, but it was because of him that the Brits had to have a serious look at themselves over the last couple of years, because he's such a big star. If he turns around and says, you know what, not interested, they are buggered. If him and Adele said, you know what, no, we're not happy with this, you need to start looking at your diversity. They've got to do it. They've got no choice. The sales, the fact that Stormzy has done it pretty much independently as well. So he went on stage. He had the Banksy, you know, the stab jacket thing, which I thought looked just amazing. The whole show was just outstanding. Whole show. I mean, it was generally a good Friday night anyway. All the acts I thought were really good. But I remember being on Facebook back then. This is last summer. And I could not believe the bile. The absolute bile directed at this guy who's literally just doing his thing. He's got choirs there, ballet dancers, skateboarding, BMX kids. It was just... And then we find out he wasn't even plugged in properly. I mean, he wasn't even going properly. And yet all I saw was, oh my God, it's a disgrace.
Yeah, people were bashing him. People were bashing him. What, you call this a headliner? What's so amazing about this? This act. What's amazing about this kind of like performance?
I just didn't get it. If you didn't like him, fine. Don't like Stormzy, fine. Just don't watch it. There's things I didn't like. I switched over and came back later on. But it wasn't. It was almost like, well, you know what they were trying to say, but they were walking this very tight line between basically digging him out for his colour and what he represents.
I'll tell you another one. Can you remember when, I want to say it was Brits, I don't know if it was, the same thing. You go on social media when that was it. Like you go on Twitter and everybody's praising, and it's like different. It's like different platforms were doing different things. So you go on Facebook and there was loads of people saying, "You call this music? Oh, what's this about? This is a terrible headline act, terrible performance." Da 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 da. And I'm thinking, "Oh, you lot are crazy." And some guys, like I've known, like coming up through the rankings, especially in like DJing and radio and stuff. All these guys I know. So when I'm reading the status, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and all he did was do his thing. He called out Bojo, you know. We're not going to go into the politics of that, but he said what he had to say. And, you know, and I said, again, I'm not a massive Dave fan. My daughter is. But he did it so eloquently. You were just drawn into it. I remember when, is it Jack Johnson? Is that right, Nathan? The little guitar? He was on the Brits one time. Yeah. When Prince had just done that amazing 12 minutes at the beginning. And then later on, we see Kanye doing the gold, the 80 girls in gold. But in between, just little Jack Johnson doing his little song, him and guitar. And it was simple. And that's exactly what Dave did. Just a simple performance that drew you in and then spoke volumes. And people just being hateful for, well, we know what they're being hateful for. You know what I mean? So it's disappointing.
It's just one of those ones. Even if you just point blank out said it, then you're accusing them for that.
And going back to the marches, because I want to go back to these marches because it's going to link to something about the media. Do you remember when the Black Lives Matter marches were happening? Everybody's just going mad about social distancing. Oh my God, these people are meeting and they're not social distancing. There's going to be a big rise in the virus. Well, we're 2 weeks later now. Where's this big rise? You know, and you didn't see any of that outpouring for the guys who went down for the statues last week. I just don't get why people suddenly went quiet about that point. Have you noticed the media and how it's changed? The language, the presentation? Because I can tell you now that there are still protests happening around this country. There's still loads in America. Absolutely loads. How much have you heard in the last week? Nathan?
Not much.
But this is the same all the time. What is going on in the world? Some of it you see, some of it you don't. Some of it is sensationalised. some of it's point blank ignored. And that's that is the media control.
Of course.
You made a point a couple of weeks ago on the Matters episode when you said on one side you saw the BLM thing, on the other side you saw the right wing stuff, and then the COVID stuff. And in the middle walked in Madeleine McCann. What happened to that story?
Yeah, exactly that. The whole thing is a game of smoke and mirrors. Yeah. And it's like a load of chess pieces, and they literally sit there and go, right, move that one forward. That one's on the attack. Pull that one back. And that's done on a daily basis. And
yes.
They engineer the direction in which the national interest goes. That then follows with social media. And it's carefully placed social media posts. It's carefully placed social media sharing. It's exactly the same as you doing an event and promoting it and getting a dozen of your friends to share that event at the same time so that it starts appearing everywhere in people's feeds.
Yeah.
It starts showing up everywhere and more people share it. The whole thing is just an explosion. They do exactly the same thing with news stories, is they position people to share certain stories and put them out to certain places at certain times so that they blossom and they get carried. And there's so many of them are misleading because the opening title says one thing, and when you go into it, the second sentence says may, not did, but may have happened, not this did happen or could have happened, or it was speculated that. And it's kind of, you've drawn people in. So many people blind share. It is ridiculous.
But no, you're right. The chess pieces thing is bang on. And the reason I say that is there's a series of things that happen. I mean, that Madeleine McCann you said was just absolutely brilliant. She just swanned along and just interrupted the whole flow. And for 2 days, she was even on the covers of the newspapers above all the protests and the COVID numbers. But since then, I'm thinking on Saturday. So we heard about, and I really want to be brief on this because I understand the teacher who died was actually my niece's favourite teacher. And she's really, really gutted. So we hear about the stabbing in this park in Reading. And straight away, they're linking Priti Patel, the BLM, and she's going to have a say on it. And I'm like, we haven't even got the story yet. Thankfully, the police stopped any kind of nonsense with the media. Yeah.
They were sharp with that. Really good.
And then it kind of made me think, thank Christ for that. You kind of look at the way things have come to us. Look at this vaccine. This is brilliant. A vaccine for the current pandemic, yeah? But for all those listening to this, I'm not dissing the deaths, okay? People have died of a pneumonia-based virus. We know this. Whether the numbers are right, we'll never know. What I find odd is the way that this thing has come along and the media's almost had to follow with it. And the story changes all the time. So you'll have a story about the virus, the vaccine. And within literally 3 minutes, you'll get three different stories pushed into one story. There's a vaccine. It's being made. It's going to happen. They're still researching it. It's being made. Be out soon. There's a vaccine. They're still researching it. And then the last thing is, oh, out in 5 weeks. Hang on a second. They can't even cure the blooming common cold. And they're telling me they're producing a vaccine that they're not even sure is the right one, but they're producing it in mass volume because they're pretty sure it's the right thing, even though we don't know whether we can get this flu thing again, like most normal flus. Who feeds the media? Because we all go, it's the media's fault. It's the media. But I'm kind of like, somebody's got to be supplying. And as you just mentioned, Nathan, somebody's determining in this chess game who goes first, which pawn is happening, which is going to be the king today, which is going to be the queen all over the board, which is going to be the bishop flying diagonally through the news and cutting through everything. You know, who decides on that? Because that's where my interest lays now. I see all these stories and I kind of go, this is all too. And I keep going back to what you said, Madeleine McCann walking in between, like literally holding her hand. The news media held her hand and dragged her through because it just diverted us all from something else. You said it even that same episode. We're being taken away from something else bigger. And what is that bigger? In America, with the BLM thing, it's got crazy again. The POTUS's son has described the marchers as a bunch of animals and they're burning down churches. There hasn't been one church burned. But it's that story is out there. We're only getting, we're being fed this weirdness, and I don't understand who determines it. Opinions?
Conquer and divide.
Yeah.
That's the theory that's being played. Now, if you're going to start asking who it is that's pulling those strings, that's Pandora's box, my friend. that's hours and hours of discussion with no real answer, because it would all be speculative and you're going down a very, very wide, confusing and twisted tunnel, I suppose, with that one. But it is, a lot of it is divide and conquer. And it's, if you position people and you feed them with, you know, it's the same as anything. I heard a really interesting analogy about it the other day, and it was about changing the habits of animals. And if you get a load of rats and they infest somewhere, and you dig a hole and you leave them in there, they will eventually eat rats, and they'll eat themselves.
Oh, wow.
Oof. And then, jeez, because they've got no other option, they've got nowhere else to go, and they want to survive. And in the end, you'll only have two rats left. And if you then take those two rats out and put them in the wild, their taste will have changed, and they will go and they will try and eat other rats. They will no longer try and eat the food that they were trying to eat before, because you've changed their condition. You've changed their mindset. It's the same.
And this is what's happening here.
It's the same concept with people.
Do you know what, Adrian? This is something you're going to love this. I was talking about this yesterday to my daughter, India. So we're talking about social distancing. So currently right now it's 2 meters, yeah?
Go on.
So
yeah, go on,
you know 2 meters, yeah? So we're on about now, it could be dropping down to a meter, right? Correct? Right. Mm. What's a meter? Okay, you're chatting to somebody, yeah? Just you're chatting to somebody in a pub. You know when to stop getting too close, yeah? So right, that's your 1 meter. It's already there. It's your personal space. But they're not calling it personal space. They're calling it 1 meter. How brilliant is that? They've got the whole world going from, well, the whole of the UK going, that's, oh, God, brilliant, we're going to be half a distance better. We're going to be only a meter. No, that's your normal space. That is your normal space. That is brilliant media manipulation. Just fantastic.
Do you know I feel sorry for every city centre, every town centre, every shopping centre that's invested literally thousands and thousands of pounds painting 2 metres on the floor, has now got to go around with their Tippex and change it to one.
Yeah, and basically, it's just a madness.
It's a Tippex design.
When, as soon as I heard 1 metre, I thought, 1 metre? What? Am I hearing this right? I'm like, that's pretty much his personal space. And it didn't hit me at first until I did the test. And I thought, this is it. It's personal space.
No, but they tried to spin it. Because they got that chart now, that 5 to 1 in regards of when, that government kind of like countdown thing to make you know if it's safe or not or whatever, has been changed to 3. I swear I saw something on there. It was like a meter and a half. It was sort of stupid like that. It was like they're trying to decrease it like by half meters, which is just all long. But again, for me, it's like, I don't really, it's weird. It's like, I don't kind of get my source from the main media. And I think really sometimes having social media platforms does help, because you get the rawness of it. You know, you don't really get sucked in by the smoke and mirrors, unless if you follow some weird people. You get a lot of normal people on whatever platform that you're on more time. And they kind of, especially Twitter, that's a good one, because they will dissect a headline and there'll be threads and conversations and everything like that as well. So it just depends on what your kind of take on it is. You get people who are really engrossed in it and they will swear by what the media throw out to you, and that's where you get caught slipping, or you can just kind of like take it with a pinch of salt.
The one that got us recently, but I was rolling about the sofa, just honestly just killed me. And Nathan, you'll appreciate this. It was, now you need to be careful around your pets. Don't kiss them. Don't be close to your pets because they may have caught the virus. Again, it's all these mad stories. And what you just said there about Twitter leads me to the wonderful thing. I don't know if it's wonderful. When they got rid of Mad Katie Hopkins last week, you made a fool of herself on the Marcus Rashford thing.
Hang on. Katie Hopkins made a fool of herself. No.
But it was what's really interesting was the amount of people who were just like, oh my God, freedom of speech, it's gone. No, freedom of speech is one thing, hateful speech is something completely different. I don't know what they banned her for. I have no idea. But all these people try to beat Twitter by saying, I am Katie Hopkins. Go on, do that and then get yourself banned. That's a really clever thing to do, isn't it? Because as soon as they see her name, they're going to just shut down back out. But it was people kind of like saying that she should be allowed to have her speak, which is fine. But my thing is, if you're such a fan, then why do you need Twitter for her? Why don't you go to her website? Why don't you go where she wants to be monetized anyway? Because that's what she's all she does this for, is to get paid. You know, that's all her, you know, who's another one? Hamza. Remember Hamza with a hook arm? Used to do all that stuff on Speaker's Corner.
Yeah.
He was another idiot. He was doing it to get paid. There was money in it. When you've got no other job, well, he's claiming benefits as well, wasn't he? But there's money in basically hate talk. Absolute money in it, which leads, of course, to Stephen. I want to talk about Stephen, who is also part of this media chess game. And I'm going to give you some names. And if you hear some buttons clicking, that's me opening up my computer, because there's a few names you need to hear about here. This is Stephen. Let me tell you about Stephen. So I'm going to give you some names. Michael McQueenie, Mark Archie Sleeman, Wayne Kirby, Robert Ewing, Darren Francis, Dale Hewitt, Elliot Jones. Elliot Jones is a bit of a star, Elliot Jones is. Mervyn Jones, Lee McMillan. Lee as in L-E-I-G-H, people, and it's a Mac, M-A-C-M-I-L-L-A-N. He's a bit of a specialist, is Lee. Brett Moses, Paul O'Brien, Richard Price, Michael Rowles, Roderick Rowley. I could go on. I have two pages of this stuff, okay? These people are all members of the English Defence League who were represented at the Statue Protectors literally a week or so ago. The EDL are a right-wing group that were born from the BNP, British National Party. At one stage, between the years of, I think it's 2003 to 2007, Stephen Yaxley-Lennon was basically the head honcho of the BNP. Let me tell you about Stephen Yaxley-Lennon, okay? In 2005, Mr. Lennon decided, Mr. Yaxley-Lennon, he basically was beating up his girlfriend at the time, who's also a member of the BNP, by the way. While attacking her, an off-duty policeman jumped in. And so Mr. Lennon basically kicked him in the head and in the face. He did go to prison for a year for this, okay? Mr. Yaxley-Lennon and all those other people, as I said, were all part of a BNP. Now, those other people I've named are all sexual offenders. Many of them are groomers. Many of them, they've all gone to prison. They've all done a stretch. You can find all the stuff. It's out there to be researched. Very easy. The EDL has always had an issue with members who, shall we say, have a thing for younger people. Some of these people have groomed people for ages. Lee McMillan is a specialist. He groomed a 10-year-old over 100 times. He did things with her. Now, they were all under the guise of Mr. Stephen Yaxley-Lennon when that person then became the head of the English Defence League up until around about, I think it's 2013. At that point, Mr. Stephen Yaxley-Lennon had gone to America with a false passport with the name on it. I think it was Paul Harris. And he was caught at JFK with his passport and he was basically kicked out of the country. By 2018, Stephen Yaxley-Lennon was basically another hate mongerer getting paid a lot of money. And his job is a political activist. At one point, under his new name, he was a political advisor in 2018 for UKIP. Yes, UKIP. And you know things are bad when Nigel Farage says UKIP's gone downhill since they took this guy on. That's how bad it got. So who is Stephen Yaxley-Lennon? Stephen Yaxley-Lennon is Tommy Robinson. Mr. Tommy Robinson. A man who has this massive following in the country. A man who keeps telling us about Muslim paedophile rings. I'm not going to go into those legal issues because that is a totally different conversation that I am not treading on. But his presence has been allowed to fit in through the media. He's been allowed to say his hate talk about paedophile rings. Now, I'm not saying these things don't happen. I'm fully aware of what happened in Oxford. I've met one of those victims. I was there when she basically called the police out for not helping her in the first instance. and they came back to her 2 years later. 2 years later, after all happened. But my point is, how has someone like Tommy Robinson, Stephen Yaxley Lemon, been allowed to enter the media circus, say these things about a certain religion, when he has, I've got here probably at least 40 names he is fully aware of within his circle who have committed heinous crimes equally, if not on a more frequent basis. My issue is, why are people like Tommy Robinson given space by people? Now, if somebody attacked your sister and was beating her up, then attacked the off-duty officer who was trying to protect your sister, you would never want that man released again, would you? Right. So how has this man ended up in such a lauded position? And why is he allowed to get with it? And why? And I want to know why people still, they use him as a reference point. If you think, before that far right, or let's just say football lads match, whatever you want to call it, statue protectors march, he was a spokesman. He's just got out of prison.
Yeah, he was on probation. Tough, wasn't he?
How is he even allowed to have an account on social media? Or have videos spreading on social media? You know, once somebody like that is around, social media should be locking that down, saying, no, he can't be on.
He'll have ways of getting around it, though, won't he? Because he'll have his little minions sorting it. There'll be other pseudo-identities. Let's face it, it's not difficult, is it, to set up another identity and just push stuff through.
Yeah, I get that to a degree. But since the last time he went to prison for the interfering with a court case and what was the other thing I did? I can't remember now. He's come out. He did the usual, everybody's picking on me. But he's still been allowed to basically distribute and discuss nothing less than hate. That last video he did for the march, he actually did mention about people's skin colour. The first time in quite a while, because he always says he's not racist. I'm not racist. Well, okay. Well, now you've actually made it about people's skin colour. But I just don't understand how people on social media, and we all know these people, we all see them. You might not want to admit it, but they'll post up videos for him. They'll big him up. You know, Tommy said it. But they don't even know his real name. This guy has been allowed to get through the system and not even use his real name. How is that happening? At one stage, he was being allowed to meet the president, the POTUS of America. How's this happening? I need to know why a man who's run a right-wing group with a load of members and supporters who've been involved in some hideous sexual assault on young people is being allowed to say what he wants about a certain ethnic group. I need to know.
This goes back to your previous conversation, though, doesn't it? And this is all the divide and conquer. While he's still in circulation, he can be used as a tool to form these arguments and to create these divides. Now, I don't have the answers for you. I mean, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm genuinely not. But I'm also not naive to the world in the way that I sit there and go, oh, no, it's all just coincidence. If you go back to my conversation in the Matters discussion, and I told you quite clearly that there were two categories of people in my world, I would just like to point out that Stephen Yaxley Lennon does fall into the category of dick.
Nice. You know what? When I see people, and I see less of it now on Facebook, because obviously I've had a massive change in view of my Facebook friends. But there are people who were like, Tommy this, Tommy that. And I'd say to them, do you know about this guy? And they go, what are you on about? So I'd send them stuff. I'd send them all this list of notes I've got here. But whether it really changed their minds, or maybe they came back to him a later bit.
Constant. It's the fact that you just give them checkmate and they're like, okay, I've got nothing to say. That post that they posted still stands. They're just now in the inbox having a conversation.
No, you're right.
After that, good night. They carry on with their opinion. Do you know what I mean? That's what it is. And again, to a degree, it's almost like I have to kind of frown at you, because it's almost like you see this stuff and then it's like, okay, cool. Let me go there and let me try and school it. Bro, they don't want to be schooled. Do you know what I mean? So it's almost like, why did... And then you'll come away from that and say, okay, cool, I've showed him. Or more time, you'll probably be like...
Nah, do you know what?
What was the point of that last sentence? Bothering?
Kind of That's a great punch, but I'm going to swerve it. I'm going to do, you know, a bit of an AJ, because I then know. And once I know, when I see that guy in the pub, when I see him wherever, I won't blank him. I'll just do that kind of, I now know about you. Don't speak to me.
Yeah, but you should know from their status. You should know from their status that they're them type of man. So even if you fill in with these facts that they, which is knowledge to them, which they don't want to take on board, when you still see them wherever you see them, you're still going to know that same person who's a donut through them writing that status.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. You know, we're surrounded by people. Up until recently, we didn't know even ad force like that. You know, I think it was when that statue actually got desecrated.
Yeah, true.
When it, for some people who, as you said, have been quiet. And Nathan, at the time, you said something about, you know, you just wanted to just, you judge people on whether they were dick or not, which is the best way to do it. Some people weren't even doing that. They just stayed quiet. And then as soon as they saw the thing about statues, they didn't ask how often it happened. They didn't happen to ask, you know, who actually did it. They saw a group of young black men around that statue, went into one. You never saw none of this for the student marches. You never saw none of this for Rebellion Extension. And many of those people that damaged the Churchill and other monuments. But these young black men were thrown into the mix. And these lads didn't do themselves any favours just being there like that. We discussed that before, and let's not go into that. But that's when I saw people in a different light again. We'd just done that fantastic episode. And then, you know, I remember I was buzzing. I listened to it thinking, oh, my God, we've nailed it. And then here I am on a Saturday just reading stuff. And it was people, they're not connected directly to me. There was certain people were writing stuff about the statues. And then their mates' comments underneath. And I'm like, wowza, I've seen you out. You've even come to some things I've been at. Oh, wow. And so I was like, mate, what are you trying to say then? I killed loads of threads. People wouldn't respond after that. They just wouldn't. They obviously met up in inboxes and stuff. But those are the kind of people who Tommy is getting to. And he's been allowed to get to.
They're just keyboard warriors. They're just online. This is the beauty and the weakness, I suppose, of social media is the fact that somebody who is socially weak and socially inept can act socially strong from behind the safety of their keyboard. And the person that stands and will have a conversation with you in a social environment face to face, that's the man. And if you can have a discussion and have opposing views, but still have a discussion and agree to disagree and have a drink, that's real men. Because we don't all think the same. And it doesn't mean that any of us are right or any of us are wrong. Trust me, there are certain subjects in which it's very clear what's right and what's wrong. But as we go through life, there are loads of times that we're going to disagree with people because we just got a different point of view on something. That's fine. And if you can debate that, that's great. When you sit behind a keyboard and berate people, when you generalize and when you are just effectively, when you give out everything that you feel negative about your life, you try and move on to someone else's to make you feel better about your existence. You're just a weak, spineless individual. That's it. End of.
I hope that people have listened to this. If you ever had any kind of doubts about Stephen Yaxley Lennon, Tommy Robinson, well, you shouldn't have any more, because trust me, this man is associated with some very, very monstrous people. But let's get on to some more cheerful stuff. Let's get on to some really cheerful stuff. We tried to discuss this in the failed recording, and it was Ibiza, which I thought was closing down. I thought was done and dusted for the summer. And then my boy Nathan kicked me into touch big time.
I wouldn't say that.
You did. I had to backtrack really quickly.
I corrected your perspective.
So let's go from nasty Stephen to wonderful Ibiza. And Nathan, tell me what's happening in the Golden Isle. Please tell me what's going on.
It's the White Isle, not the Golden Isle. You're thinking of Blackpool. Oh, my God. This is terrible.
Oh, my God.
You've just literally just turned. And can I point out as well? It's Ibiza.
Oh, sorry.
I listen to Radio One because it's Spanish. It's called Ibiza.
Ibiza. Yeah, Ibiza.
Right. So when it's not, it's Ibiza. It's Ibiza. That's how it's pronounced. Well, when I hear it on Radio 1 and DJs are, I've been going there since 1973. I love Ibiza. Well, you should know how to pronounce it then. Yeah, no, well, basically all of the big clubs are the ones that have said they've decided they're not opening this year. So, I mean, a couple of the press releases that I saw when they came out last week were from Ushuaia and High. And based on the size of their venues, they haven't been given the guidelines for social distancing in order to make them conform, because nobody's come up with the answer for that. And in order to put on a successful season, they've got to do it over numbers over a certain amount of time. They can't do that. So they've taken the option to not open, and all of the big clubs have gone down the same line. However, the smaller bars, in the same way that pubs and restaurants can open, they are doing it. So places like O Beach, they've just opened a new one called Bambuku as well. They're opening. They will be opening. Spain's obviously changed. Spain came out of the state of emergency today. So they're effectively no longer in any form of lockdown. All they need now is for tourists to return. They've lifted all the restrictions. There's no quarantine restrictions. So people can come and go freely as long as they're on the list of countries that have been specified, that they can fly in freely in and out of Spain. We can travel to Spain, but currently as it stands for us, when we re-enter the UK, we still need to quarantine. If they drop that on Tuesday, then you're suddenly going to see people jumping on planes and going, I think.
Let me tell you now, I've got my little trip to Benny Old Town sorted out September. It's already in the diary. She keeps on saying it's not going to happen. I am going to be there in Tapper's Alley, ramping down the wine and all them little bits and treats. I am there. Benny Old Town, me in Spain, we're having it.
Yeah, me and my straw donkey.
not the new town, Benidorm. No, I hate new town. I'm old town. Me, I like being a Muncie.
You're old everything.
Yeah, definitely.
You are old. You are old town.
Honestly, anybody who goes to Benidorm, please go to Old Town. It is so different to the one you see on the comedy series. Benidorm Old Town is like your mum, your dad, your nan raving hard to like 1-2 o'clock in the morning, drinking wine, picking a little bits of food. They're out in the streets, they're everywhere. It's not full of English tourists. You're like kind of on your own. It's so completely different. And the difference between Old Town and what you see on that TV show is literally about a mile. You just walk down this one street and it's like two completely different areas. It's the Spanish end and then there's the tourist end. You'll be surprised. It's actually, and it's cheap as well. Cheap, fun, food's great. What else can you ask for? And it's a great beach. I'm telling you.
But he still likes the Golden Isle.
All right. So we can roll there. Okay,
do you know,
so
the Golden Isle actually sounds like somewhere in a supermarket that you buy, like, bargain products.
Okay.
Welcome to the Golden Isle.
Well, talking of Golden Isles, how about some golden tunes? So, oh, there you are. Look at that radio link. That's coming out.
That was terrible. I'm not having that. You're not having that, mate.
That was a Tony Blackburn special. Have some of that, kids. You know what I mean? Proper in there. It's like Top of the Pops. That was 1984.
That was full on, like, fromage.
I asked you in the week, okay? Name me. Not. I don't want to hear six. I want one. One. Your favourite Prince tune. Nathan.
Purple Rain. Full length version. Right to the end. No cutting.
Cool. Okay. Look, Purple Rain is fantastic. When he done Around Crazy. The World in a Day, it was the first interview he'd done with Rolling Stone. He was on a cover. And they asked him, why did you do... The chasm between these two albums was just... And he said, yeah, I could have easily just copied a riff from anything I had left over from the Purple Rain album. But that's not what I do. And then he just did, you know, Around the World in a Day. And that was obviously the opening track. Had Pop Life on it, that wonderful track. What's that? What's what are you putting up your nose? Is that where all your money goes? Wow, what a great line. Yeah, I mean, he had some great stuff on that. Everything he does is weird. Yeah, he's done some absolute rubbish as well. And he really has done some rubbish. But you don't think about that because he does so much great stuff. So Purple Rain is fantastic. That guitar solo
is unbelievable.
Just to let you... who are tuned in right now, just to let you guys know, like, Tony's Prince
so,
fan.
Well, no, I was going to say, Adrian, so now that you've asked me and you've asked Adrian, before this conversation goes any further, what is your one favourite Prince song?
One. I will tell you mine in a minute. The ones that came through were Diamonds and Pearls, how good is
that
record?
Great song.
Oh, mate. Sometimes it snows in April.
That's
sometimes it snows.
Great song.
Oh, mate. Darling Nikki off of the Purple Rain album. When Doves Cry got a load of love.
Brilliant tune.
That was the initial. Then Sign of the Times, that come through. That got hard support. Followed up very tightly by I Want to Be a Lover, which I was a bit disappointed by because I do love that song. But to me, it's not Epitone Prince.
No.
It could have been Rick James who done that, you know? But number one was Nathan's choice. It was indeed Purple Rain, which was the number one choice of the people.
Did you got Look or I Would Die For You or Little Red Corvette?
No, they all got hit. They all got little singles. There's only one or two people liked them. Gold was another one. I forgot what about Gold. That got three people said they loved that.
That was more recent, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. But mine actually isn't a major single. It's on the, I think it's the B side of Let's Go Crazy, which is another great guitar solo.
Yeah, yeah.
Erotic City for me was just, because how we got away with that single at the time, it was played a little bit on the radio. It's dirty, it's sexy, it's pretty much Prince. You know, it was that gap between the Purple Rain kind of period and what he'd been doing before that. Anastasia stuff and all that stuff from the early 80s. Yeah, I loved it. Erotic City is the one for me. I'm not saying it's his best, it's my favourite. So it's not necessarily his best. You know, man, you could, if you said to choose his best, that's a completely different thing altogether, I think, different choices. But yeah, favourites, yeah. Purple Rain is obviously the one that people know and love. But if I was your girlfriend, Adrian, you've got me all gooey now. So good. If I was, oh my God.
That sounds disgusting,
by the way. I never want to hear again.
Okay, while we're here, very quickly, and I'm going to be short on my choices this week. What bits of music, not necessarily new music have you been listening to? And I know, Adrian, you sent me an album, and I forgot to get around to it. What was that album?
The album's sick, man. It's so dope. who the hell is it?
That is good.
Who? No, it's Tiana Taylor.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Tiana Taylor.
Yeah. Right, Tiana Taylor, the album. I've heard a lot about
that. The whole project is like, you have to be in the zone, but...
Okay, and Nathan?
Well, yeah, but then I've got the one that I overlooked.
Yes!
I'd overlooked one quite dramatically, haven't I? I know a guy who is from my hometown, and I've known him quite a while. Not particularly well, but I've known him in passing, and when I used to work in the pub, he was a regular with his dad. And at the time, he was a member of a boy band. There were two of them, and they were trying, they were doing their bits, and they're having limited success, if we were honest. But a lovely, lovely guy. Anyway, he's reinvented himself, and he's now known as the 220 Kid.
The 220 Kid, yeah? The 220 Kid,
yeah,
is that
220
right?
Kid. So last week, he was just outside the top 10. And another friend of mine in Tame decided that he would try and get 10 copies more of his song needed to beat Harry Styles and make it a top 10 record. So my friend Sean, in his infinite wisdom, started to offer on Instagram that if you bought the single for 59p, he would do a personal dance for you. Right. Anyway, 15 copies of that record were sold and he made top 10. Scott Mills released it last Friday, which was incredible. But I mean, it is an absolute banger. I love the Majestic remix, which has got a real...
Nathan, what is the name of this single? 220 Kid, and what's it called?
You've just thrown me there.
He's such a fan.
No, it's not. It's because my mind's just gone blank.
Don't worry, it's the 220 Kid. I'm going to stick it on. I keep forgetting to tell people about our middle name is Trevor Playlist.
It's Don't Need Love.
Right, thank you for that, Nathan. We have a playlist on Spotify. You go.
Can I be honest about this? I'm going to be honest now. Is on the basis on. That I am the biggest, my own biggest critic of anything I ever do or anything I've ever done. I've actually only listened to three of our podcasts because I can't listen back because I will just pull myself to pieces.
No, do you know what? It's only because I have to edit it and put it all together and make sure that I've made it coherent. But I listen to it quite a bit, and obviously.
But when
the matters one, I honestly can say, and having heard the feedback from people, I'm gonna keep on about this. People said to me that the Matters show was the best podcast they heard about the issue of equality and race across the whole the last two, three weeks, the best podcast they heard, because it made sense to them.
And that means a lot, because as I said, I think I said going into it, I was apprehensive about going into it. And do you know what? I left that conversation knowing more than I did when I went in. And I wasn't apprehensive based on skin colour. I was just apprehensive about where it was going to go. And I thought, is this going to go like deep to a level that I'm not going to be able to interject? And it was, I was quiet for a lot of it, but that's because I was listening and learning. And then I loved the fact that I got to put my take on it into it, because it's from a very different perspective than both of you. But I think that the outsider looking into the three of us, you word it perfectly every time. You just introduced us as three DJs from Oxford, because that is, in my world, what we are.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly what we are. And, you know, it was like today's discussion.
Yeah, true.
How I do this, guys, is with the three of us. There's obviously me, there's Nathan, and there's Adrian. And like tonight, I'd text them maybe a day, or often just the afternoon before.
Sometimes 20 minutes.
Yeah, indeed. With just the headers. And then I'll throw in some bits and bobs, like a mad question of the week and stuff. Or something will happen maybe just before we even record, so stuff like that. Or age will just be late as per normal. But that's how we go through it. And I know that sometimes, with the Tommy Robinson thing, the Stephen Yaxley Lennon thing, I put it out to the guys on Saturday, and I was expecting the guys to say, you know what, that's going to be a bit. But the fact that, as Nathan's just said, I'll throw something in there, but I would never drag the other two guys into a conversation that's going to just be really cold and uncomfortable. I knew, as you have done today, that we could bash out, even though it'd be me mostly talking about it, because I wanted to get it out. I knew you would add some more meat to this meal. And brilliant. And it's why I'm kind of really proud of what the episodes we've done about mental health.
Do you know the weird part? And I'll be completely honest about this now. When you put in there, we need to talk about Stephen, I ain't got the first clue you're on. But just because he put Stephen, I'm thinking, oh, cry, okay, there are several Stephens that this discussion could be on, and they're all going to be quite deep. I'm only going to be able to join in on a couple of these.
I think there'll be a couple of people if you think of that when they've seen the promo prior to this. But, you know, but yeah, as I said, we are, the three of us, we keep saying this, really proud of the feedback we've got for the last two or three episodes, really. So just want to wrap this up with some more music, because the last recording was a bit of a balls up, as we said, and I went way ahead of myself with too much music. So I'm sticking to three, which is I've got to say it again, The Streets, I Wish You Loved You As Much As You Love Him. A really long title, but The Streets is back with Donayo. That tune is just... Oh my...
The tune, it is kicks. Just, it kicks.
It's
insane.
It's back to his best. It's back to his...
It's insane.
It's not... It's just like the first album. It's like original pirate material. It's just on... I'm going to say this. I'm sorry if it sounds so corny. It's just on point. It is just so good. And then from nowhere, Beyonce. Just where did that come from? It just come from nowhere. Black Parade. And it's not the fact that it's actually brilliant. It's the production is incredible. It's like she's just built this huge wall of sound and just walked in. And how she got it out, and nobody knew it's coming. Nobody. So I've said those two. Streets, Beyonce, and then Anderson .Paak, Lockdown. Oh, mate. Where we are, dude, talking about Prince.
Rhythm.
If there's a natural vocal successor to Prince, Anderson .Paak. Anderson P-double-A-K. If you haven't heard this guy, check him out on... he did Glasgow a couple of years ago and just battered it. It was the same year Royal Blood just destroyed... How they were on for the afternoon and not headlining was beyond me, because they were just out of this world. But Anderson .Paak just... And it came out on Friday. Yes, it is about the protest, but it's more than that. It's about treatment, inequality and treatment. It's just get it. It's on Spotify. It's on the playlist. All the new tracks get added at the very bottom. So scroll down to the bottom. You got all the new ones. I'll just hit shuffle and you'll get a mix of everything. And I even put in the guys' tracks choices as well as mine. So it's not just a selfish one made by me. I can't think of a final question for you.
I've got a final question, but there's no answer to it.
Go on, then.
Name a food you can't eat with cheese.
Oh, my God.
What?
When do you have the last time you have squid and cheese?
I guarantee you now there will be, if you Google squid and cheese, there'll be a recipe with squid and cheese in it. So you can do You can do a squid ink mac and cheese. You can do squid stuff with feta cheese. You can do grilled squid with goat cheese stuffing. Cheese stuffed calamari. See, you can do anything you want with squid and cheese.
I'm so baffled. That is brilliant. It's amazing.
I'm going to cut this now. Okay, so guys, thank you very much. We'll catch up. We're going to do the podcast now every 10 days or so because it's time to get stuff sorted and make sure there's no techies. Thank you very much. Nathan Swift.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Adrian Specs Prescott.
Right.
See you later, boys. Thank
Be good.
You so much.
Come on.
All right, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers for listening. We're going to be back in about 10 days' time. Just changing our schedule a little. And we're going to try some other podcast services just to get recording better. But yeah, hope you've enjoyed it. Hope you liked it. And we'll be back with more kind of, I don't know, but soon. All right? Cheers.